Hello and welcome to our Palm Sunday worship service. I'd like to welcome everybody here as we celebrate yet another Sunday over the internet. Kathy, would you have our prelude? Now we'll have our call to worship.
Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Now we'll have our first hymn. If you have your hymnal at home, you can join with us. It's hymn number 278, Hosanna, Loud Hosanna. Now we will have our opening prayer.
Let us bow for prayer. Almighty God, on this day your Son, Jesus Christ, entered the holy city of Jerusalem and was pronounced king by those who spread their garments and palm branches on the road before him. Let those branches be for us a sign of victory, and grant that we who bear them in his name may ever hail him as our Lord, and follow him in the way that leads to eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Now we'll have our first lesson.
Our first lesson is taken from Philippians, the second chapter, verses 5 through 11. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Now we'll have our second hymn, He is Lord. Now we'll have our time of prayer, and I would encourage you that if you do have joys or concerns that you would like to send in, you can send them in to the church office or send them in to my email, and I will make sure that we pray for them. Okay. First prayer request is for Hunter O'Connor. Hunter is a young man who actually had a tree fall on him, I think it was last night, and had surgery this morning. I did notice on Facebook that he is out of surgery and came through surgery well, but to keep Hunter O'Connor in your prayers as he recovers from his surgery. Jamie Trostel, who is recovering from knee surgery, keep her in your prayers. The Rumming and Stitzler family, keep them in your prayers. I got a message from Denny that Vanessa and all the Peace Corps volunteers who we were praying for last week got home this week. Vanessa got home today. So we rejoice in that, and they are all home safely from South America. Nancy's sister, Cindy, who is a primary caregiver for her mother who has dementia. Just prayers for her as she goes through this difficult time. Prayer for all of our caregivers as they are having an even more difficult situation with things that are going on. So just keep our caregivers in your prayers. Keep our emergency responders, our firemen, our EMTs, our ambulance people, our police in your prayers as they are dealing with a difficult situation and having even more requirements placed upon them each day. All those who are working in the medical field, who are working with people who are struggling with this virus, keep them in your prayers, as well as those who are struggling with the virus and their family members. Keep them in your prayers also. Let us bow for prayer. Dear Lord, we give you thanks for this day and for this opportunity to come before you. Though we are not the church in this place, we are still the church in the places where you have put us. Lord, as we come together as your people, we come together in spirit to worship you. Lord, hear our prayers, those which have been spoken out loud and those which we speak only in the depths of our heart. Lord, hear us. We ask that you would be with Hunter as he recovers from surgery. We just thank you for being with him and just ask that you would continue to work in him to renew and strengthen him. We ask that you would continue to be with Jamie as she recovers from her surgery. We ask that you would be with the Rumming and the Stitzler family as they go through this difficult time. We just ask for your peace to be upon them and for them to know your comfort. We just praise you for Vanessa and the other Peace Corps volunteers being able to get home safely. And all those who are trapped in other countries and waiting to get home, we just ask for your guidance and your direction and your peace to be upon them. We ask for your safety and your guidance and your peace for all those who are working in all the difficult fields of medicine and the emergency fields and our police and our military. We just ask for your guidance to be upon them and that you would direct them. And we ask that you would be with all the churches who are unable to meet together in one space, but they meet in many, many places together. We just ask for your peace and your grace to be upon them. And now, Lord, we ask that you would be with us as we pray as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now we will have our sermon text. Our sermon text for today comes from the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." This is the word of God for the people of God. We have an interesting situation here. We celebrate Palm Sunday every year as a time when we recognize Jesus coming as the King. Now, there's a few problems with this passage if you're thinking of Jesus as a king. First of all, when we think of a king, we think of somebody who comes in great power and pomp and circumstance. A king is somebody we would expect to come riding in on a great white stallion, just decked out in all of his finest. Someone who, just by looking at them, we would be able to know that this is somebody important. That's not how Jesus comes into Jerusalem. That's not what happens at all. Jesus comes into Jerusalem riding on a donkey who has a foal with her. This is not a great, big, beautiful animal. If you've ever had the opportunity to ride a donkey, they don't always do what they're supposed to do. The donkeys that I've had the opportunity to ride were much more like people. They did exactly what they wanted to when they wanted to. My cousins had two donkeys, Jack and Jill, amazing names. And Jack was especially ornery. You could beat him with a stick as you were riding him, and if he didn't want to go, he wasn't going anywhere. He would just stand there. Now, when I think of somebody who's important, somebody who's coming in to try and show people their power and their glory and their majesty, I don't think of somebody riding a donkey. So why in the world would Jesus choose to ride a donkey into Jerusalem? Well, we're told in this passage that part of the reason that he does it is to fulfill prophecy. And that's very important, that Jesus fulfills prophecy telling us who he was and who he is. It says, "See, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The one word I think of that I don't think of when I think of somebody in power is gentle. That's not what we think of when we think of somebody who has great power like a king. We don't think of the term gentle. We might think majestic. We might think powerful. We might think amazing, but not gentle. Yet we're told here that our king comes gentle and riding on a donkey, coming in a way that is different from what the world expects. And as Jesus sent the disciples to get this donkey, he doesn't tell them anything about where they're going. We don't know where they're going to get it. But they go and this donkey is tied. Jesus probably had talked to somebody ahead of time and asked to borrow it. But they bring it back, and then a crowd starts to gather. And this crowd gathers, and they see what's going on, that the disciples start to throw their cloaks over the back of this donkey, and they place Jesus on the donkey, and they lead him into Jerusalem. And people start to shout, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Now, Hosanna means to save. In other words, what they're saying is, "Save us, Son of David." Save us from what? Save us from these Romans who have come in and taken over our country. Save us from not being able to be a nation. Save us from the struggles that we're in. That's what they're calling out. How fitting today that so many people today are calling out, "God, save us from this virus. Save us from all of the things that are going on in our world. Save us, God." Without even realizing that God has already saved us. The king has already come. Now the people start to lay their coats on the road, and when their coats aren't enough, they gather palm branches. The palm is a sign of victory. When they would lay palm branches out, it was a sign of victory. It was a sign of they were welcoming back somebody who had been victorious. When they laid their coats on the road, it was the same as we do now when a dignitary comes and we roll out the red carpet. So in other words, what they were saying was, "Our king has come." And they've been waiting for this king for a long, long time. Now, we know that people today are ready for this struggle that we're in to be over. They are ready to get back to work, to get back to life as normal, and it's only been a few weeks. It's only been a short time, but we're ready. The Jewish people had been waiting for a king for 400 years, and they were ready. So when Jesus shows up, They were ready to make him their king, not a gentle king, but a king who would come in and throw out the people that they did not like, the Romans. They wanted him to come in and set up his government and take over and straighten everything out and make them a mighty nation once again. But that's not what Palm Sunday is about. Palm Sunday is about the coming of our spiritual king. The coming of the one who is going to make us his brothers and sisters through his death on a cross. Palm Sunday is a time of celebration when we think about the waving of palms and parades and people getting together and being excited. But this week that's coming, the week that we call Holy Week, the week where we celebrate Holy Thursday and Good Friday, are completely different, because the king who comes is not a king who overcomes political situations, who overcomes world situations, but a king who comes to be the spiritual leader of our lives and our churches. That's who Jesus is. That's what we need to remember about Palm Sunday. Now, I've seen on Facebook, I broke my word. I said I would never get on Facebook again, but I did, to keep in touch with people and to see what's going on. And I've seen people who think of God as the one who will walk beside them through this struggle that we're going through. And people who think of God as the one who caused this struggle that we're going through to punish people or to straighten us out or to whatever. God is the one who comes as our Lord and Savior. That's who Jesus is. We'll go through many struggles in our lives. This is not the last we will face. As we get through this, I hope our faith will be stronger and we'll remember who our King is. But I don't believe that what we're going through is a punishment from God. I don't think it is anything but a sickness, a virus that is spreading its way through our world. I rejoice that there are so many who are finding strength in their faith, strength in their understanding that no matter what happens, that their king is still king and he is still on the throne. He may not have come in great power and majesty. He may have only come in gentleness. But he comes to save us. And what he will face in the coming week is so important to our faith. To those who are his followers, actually turning their back on him, to being arrested and beaten and crucified because of us. Palm Sunday is a time to rejoice, to remember that no matter what happens in this world, our King has come. And he is still alive, and he sits at the right hand of God the Father. Now, some of you have seen on Facebook a wonderful idea, and I want to thank Judy Wirth for bringing this to my attention. We can't come to church and get palms, but we can go out and find a green plant, a green branch, and put it up at our house. And in a way, we get to participate in Palm Sunday as we never have before. Before, we walked into church and somebody handed you a piece of palm branch and said, when we give you the cue, wave it. And then you take it home and you put it somewhere and it's nice. But what I want you to do, if you haven't done already, is go out and get that green branch or that green plant as a symbol to you and to your house that your God, your King, has come. Amen. Now we're going to sing hymn number 277, which is Tell Me the Stories of Jesus. Face to shine upon you. May he fill your heart and your mind with his peace. Amen. Should we have our prelude? Thank you, and may God bless you. Amen.